Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu. Over the next few minutes, the Word of God will be taught with simplicity, power, and a sense of humor. For over two decades, Dr. Kamanu's teachings have gone throughout the world with tremendous reports coming from people whose lives have been radically impacted. Get your Bible, take notes, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch you through the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Kamanu.
Matthew 24, our foundation scripture will be verse number 35. And then from there, we're going to springboard and go through a lot of different things. I have a number of things to share with you. Did you come prepared to receive?
Yes, amen.
Have you come prepared to receive from God?
Yes.
Amen. Matthew 24, verse number 35. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." It's going to happen, saints. "But my words shall not." See, there's two shells. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but His words shall not pass away. Now it's up to you what choice you're going to make, what you're going to invest your time in. I don't know about you, but I've chosen to invest my time in the Word of God. And the reason I'm going to invest my time in the Word of God, and I've chosen that, is because I'm asking God to teach me His ways. And so we're going to talk to you about understanding God's Word. You know, we talked about identity theft. We talked about a number of different things. So this will just go along with it. This might end up being kind of a lengthy series. Whatever it turns out to be, I believe it's blessed of the Lord. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, over the next several minutes, I'm asking You to touch us, that You administer to us, speak a word profoundly into our spirit. Touch those who are viewing this, those listening to this audio transmission, wherever they may be. Lord, already we get reports from people saying their lives are changing because they're applying what they're hearing. Thank You for the simplicity of the gospel, Lord. It's not difficult for us to understand. All we need to do is get the mind of Christ. Paul said in Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. Father, we got calls today from people who are distraught. They don't know what to do. They're watching people who have taught them the truth now venture into a different direction. Lord, help us to understand Your word. Teach us and help us to number our days is our prayer also. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody say,
amen.
4, 35, the Lord Jesus lays the foundation. And as we go through understanding God's Word, title of our lesson, Understanding God's Word, let me tell you this. I'll make a statement. I don't want to see you wrinkle your nose or anything, but the Bible is a Jewish book. I'm going to say it again. The Bible is a Jewish book, but it is not only for Jews. Well, that's a big amen right there. Huh? It's not only for Jews. See, scholars agree that, and I want you to get this, of the 40 authors of the 66 books, everyone except Luke were Jewish. Everyone. 64 out of 66 books were written by Jews. So it makes the Bible a Jewish book. Now I want you to check this out. I want to write this down. A. 80% of the entire Bible is made up of the Old Testament and quotations from the New Testaments. 80% is made up of the Old Testament and quotations from the New Testament. B. 10% of all the recorded words of Jesus are taken from the Old Testament. That's why he could tell the enemy in Matthew 4, it is written. What was written? The Old Testament was written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. See? C. The 3-year ministry of Jesus was directed only to the Jews. Did you know that? I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 15. Go to Matthew 15. Let's look at something here. The 3-year ministry of Jesus was directed only to Jews. Matthew chapter 15. We want to look at verse number 24. Jesus said, as he was being interrogated, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did you see that? Jesus, remember that woman? Remember that woman who was a Gentile up in the Syrophoenician woman? She said, Lord, will you heal my... He says, listen. And then he told the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. See, this is amazing, saints. We need to understand God's word. And then we're going to keep things in proper perspective. Now watch this. Here's another thing I want to tell you. The ministry of the disciples was initially directed only to Jews. What? The ministry of the disciples was initially, now here's the word, initially. I know about the Great Commission, but initially directed only to Jews. Matthew chapter 10. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, watch. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Did you see that? That's you and me. Jesus told his disciples, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not go into any city of the Samaritans. Don't enter it. Look at verse 6. He says, but rather go to who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm telling you, the Bible is a Jewish book. But it's not just for Jews. And we need to understand why we can stand on the principles of God and the promises of God. All right, here's something else you need to write down. The writers of at least 64, I told you this, of the 66 books of the Bible, they're Jews. 64 of 66 books written only by the Jews. And the reason I'm telling you this is because the church, by and large, we're not catering to the Jews. We thought we replaced the Jews. And erroneously, this has happened, listen to me, this is not something new. This happened way back in the first century. Way back when the church first started, when now Rome started to take control of things, they X'd out the Jews. They said, anything Jewish, take out. How are you going to take out anything Jewish from this? See now why people got to write their own Bibles? Because they want to totally exclude the Jews? Now, I got something else to share with you. Much of the New Testament was written directly to Jews. We use the book of Hebrews, but you're not a Hebrew. That was written directly to the Jews. Why does Luke and Matthew bring out the genealogy? Because they're writing to Jews. So the reason I'm telling you this is because there's going to be some things you're going to catch in this. It's going to explode in your spirit. It's going to be really great. Because what are we talking about? Understanding God's Word. See, we must conclude that over 90%, listen to this, over 90% of both Old and New Testaments was written directly to or concerning the Jews. See, I can look at this as a Hawaiian and say, well, I can see semblances of Hawaii in here. Yes, but it wasn't written to Hawaii. Now get mature when you hear what I'm telling you now, because there's a lot of people flipping right now. But you need to understand the mind of God, the mind of God, the mind of God. God looked for somebody, didn't find a Hawaiian, didn't find a Filipino, didn't find a Caucasian man. He found somebody called Abraham. This is very, very, very important. Very important, saints. Now watch this. While the Bible is for all mankind equally, watch this. We must understand that with the huge predominance of Jewish involvement in the Bible, they are clearly the central people in the drama of God's plan of salvation. The Jews are, not us. The Jews are. You don't hear about the church till 2,000 years ago. Up to then, it's only about the Jews. And the plan of salvation was about the Jews becoming missionaries to the world, inundating the world with the gospel. But because they didn't do it, God raised up the Gentiles. See, in a world where we always want to think that we're first, we're number one, I got to tell you this. We're not number one. See, that's why I tell people, I knew I wasn't number one when God chose me. Why? Because the Jews were chosen. But because of their rebellion and their hardness of heart, God used that as an opportunity to bring the gospel to us. Now watch, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm not against the Jews. I'm for the Jewish people as long as they're for God. Listen to this. If the Jewish people are clearly the central people in the drama of God's plan of salvation, so we got to say that they're the actors on center stage. While all of us, we're only supporting roles. See, but if you go into the church right now teaches so many erroneous things. You know, they're teaching like, yeah, it's us, the Jews' days are over. I mean, I get literature from people, preachers, saying, no, the Jews are not God's chosen people. It's over, they blew it. It's not what the Word of God says. Are you ready to learn? We're going to learn some powerful stuff. It's going to cause you to say, hallelujah. Listen to me, we might come against some sacred cows. If we do, get a knife and kill them. Amen? So we can go on in Jesus. Are you happy? Okay, remember this important guide. Remember this. Write this down. All scripture may be for me, but all scripture may not be about me. All scripture may be for me, but all scripture may not be about me. So I'm going to teach you some words tonight. Are you ready to learn some words? Write this word down. Exegesis. 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 Can you say that's it? Okay, there is a basic rule. Watch now. There's a basic rule of exegesis. You know what exegesis means? The critical explanation or analysis of a text. That's what we're doing. We're going to exegete scripture. This is exegesis. We're going to go to the scripture and we're going to do a critical what? Explanation or analysis of what we're reading. Okay, so we just don't build and take, well, I take this scripture out of context and, oh, I like this one, this one, and I take this one, I take. No. We're going to look at the Word of God and we're going to apply this Word and we're going to see that God loves us. All right. Now watch this. Rabbinical scholars, I'm talking about exegesis, rabbinical scholars call this rule, and I'm going to give you the spelling, M-I space L space M-I. Me el me. You know what it means? From whom to whom? All scriptures. What? What did I tell you earlier? All scriptures what? But not about me. Okay. So now this rabbinical scholars call the rule what? From whom to whom? You need to understand that. The story is in the book of Acts. Here's our friend Philip. And he goes to the Ethiopian eunuch riding in a chariot. Remember that? Chapter 8 of Acts. He jumps the chariot. The guy said, come in the chariot with me. And then he says, he's reading from Isaiah. He says, can I ask you a question? Who's writing this and who's it written to? From whom to whom? You can find anybody's letter, read it and say, oh, I like this. But is it for you? From whom to whom? So we have to understand what the Bible is. God gives the story. He uses people. He uses events, he uses situations, and sometimes we think, hey, we fit right into that, so we take all of that for us. Do we have the rights to do that? No, we're going to study together, and we're going to learn some good things. Now watch this. Gentile believers often apply scriptures directed to a particular person, to a nation, or event somewhere else. But this is not, see, when you read the scriptures, this is not exegesis. What is exegesis? What does it mean? Critical explanation or analysis of a text. Remember this now. Watch. The critical explanation or analysis of a text. But when the Gentiles begin to use this, you know what it's called? Here's the word. E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. Almost looks the same, yeah? It's called eisegesis. Eisegesis. You know what this means? You know what it means? It means an improper method of exposition by which the expounder, me, you, or anybody else, introduces their own ideas into the interpretation of a text. So somebody say, oh, you know, the Lord told me this right here. Well, you know, the Lord didn't tell you that. The Lord told somebody else that. So you didn't correctly exegete the scripture, but you use eisegesis. In other words, you said, well, this fits me. I'm going to use it for me. I'm going to use it for my circumstance. Now, can we do it? See, this is what we need to know. Can we do it? The reason I'm telling you this is because you will come across people in the body of Christ who will quote Deuteronomy, they'll quote all these things, but they don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be in shame, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we're doing tonight. We're rightly dividing the word of truth. Those of you viewing this, those of you listening to this, you can rightly divide the word of truth. So you don't have to be a day late and a dollar short. See, the enemy would love nothing more than to get people to stand upon God's word and don't realize it's not about them. It was about somebody else. So the question, the logical question is, well, is it wrong for us to do it? No, it's not wrong. I'm going to show you something very, very important. Watch this. How many know the enemy is very, very crafty? Yeah. When we do eisegesis, you know what is this commonly referred to? They call it spiritualizing. Sounds like the church. Spiritualizing. Spiritualizing a scriptural promise often strengthens an individual's faith and draws them closer to God. So this is not wrong to do. It's good to do. But you got to always remember what you're doing. You're spiritualizing this. But who? From whom to whom? From whom to whom? Does that make sense to you? This is teaching. From whom to whom? I know I'm repeating myself, but this is a teaching class. So we need to get that so that we testify correctly, so that we minister correctly, so that we expound to others correctly, and we teach people the truth. Say amen, somebody. Yeah. In fact, I encourage you to spiritualize things. We can often take promises that is directed to a nation, others, or even situation. We can spiritualize it and apply it to our own country, to ourselves, or to our own situation, and find that God honors the application. God says, all right. Jesus said to her, Jesus said to this woman, salvation is for the Jews now. He said to her, wow, I will not find this kind of faith in Israel. See, she spiritualized this thing. She says, I tell you what, we're worthy of crumbs, though, that's fall from your table. She didn't ask for the whole loaf. She said, give me crumbs. So it's not wrong for us to spiritualize this. God, in fact, he looks at this and says, good. They understand my word. See, the rule of thumb is always this. God looked for a people to convey his message, and the people weren't called Gentiles. They're called Jews. We have taken their place temporarily. So we know what God's going to do? At the culmination of our temporarily taking their place, he's going to remove us. And he's going to put them back to where they are. See, but by and large, in evangelical churches, they don't see this. That's why not many Christians go to Israel. Because they say, why go there? There's nothing to do with us anymore. They had their chance. They lost it. They're out. We can go to Romans chapter 11. And Paul says, you think God is finished with his Jews? See, we teach the scripture that says, Jesus says, the time will, if it wasn't for the elect's sake, you know, he shortened the time because of his elect. You know who the elect are? Not the church. It's the Jews. The Jews who are believers in him. So now, you see, as we rightly divide the word of God, we don't have to get upset and say, oh, Lord, I thought it was about us. It was never about us. It was never about us. You know what? This is why people struggle, because they don't know the word. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees who questioned him? He says, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Remember they asked him with the marriage. You know, this lady married seven brothers, and whose wife will she be? And he says, you err not knowing the word of God and the power of God. Now, if that was 2,000 years ago, what, you think we got any brighter now? The church now is so anti-Semitic. I mean, when I say anti-Semitic, this just means they're against the Jews. The church is so anti-Semitic, it's pathetic. That's why Jewish people ask us when we go to Israel, why are you here? Why would you come here? We have nothing. Why would you come from Hawaii? Why? And we tell them, oh, we love you. You don't even know us. We know your prophets. Write that down. Prophets are important. Yeah. Amos 3:7, the Lord says, I'll not do nothing until I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets. 2 Chronicles 20:20 tells us what? He says, you can prosper and be established only if you believe the Lord your God and his prophets. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Amos 3:7. I give you these scripture verses because we need to look about prophets. Well, you know, we hear so many prophets in the land today, but most of these prophets prophesying to Gentiles. And what's the prophecy? The crux of the prophecy today from these Gentile prophets, what they're saying? You're going to be blessed. You're going to have millions. You're going to have thousands. I see God giving you a new house. That's not the way God does things. So we have to go back to the Word of God and say, wait, Lord, you know what, Lord? I've been in this church for 30 years. I've been in your way for, that's what we've been, in your way for 40 years. Lord, teach me your ways, please, Lord. This always gets me, saints. Matthew 25 always gets me. How can you have a wise virgin and a dumb virgin? First of all, the person's a virgin because they kept themselves from all advancement. When their friends were saying yes, they said no. But it is possible for you to sit in the house of God, even the synagogue, and not know the truth. Amen. Why? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing. But if you're not hearing the word of God, what are you developing? See, if you're not hearing the word of God, you're not developing faith. You develop your own, well, I know I can do this. No, it's not about you. It's about God. God has his perfect plan, and it's still perfect. Even the fall of Adam, it's still perfect. Why? Because it was never about Adam, it was about Jesus. Once you begin to understand this, you're like, okay, Lord. No wonder we read in Proverbs 16, verse 23, I think. It says about the guy who plans his way, but God orders his steps. Well, how can that be? See, you think, well, how can that guy do that? God says, let him go. I got him. I got him where I want him. I got him where I want him. And that's the thing about God. See, God will reward the Gentiles. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 12, God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you diligently seek the Lord, that's what you're doing. You're diligently seeking the Lord. He will reward you. So don't let the enemy give you a nosebleed. Oh, the Jews can get this. These guys were backslidden all these years. You know, they didn't do nothing. They persecuted. You know what? You know who killed Jesus? Let me tell you who killed Jesus. You want to know? I'll tell you the truth. You want to know? Okay, they blame the Romans, and the church have blamed the Jews for 2,000 years. Let me tell you who killed Jesus. Are you ready? Sin. 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 All have sin. But it was part of God's plan. And they were getting mad at the Jews. Don't even talk to me, you Jewish people. You don't even realize what you're doing. You read the 11th chapter. We're going to go there. 11th chapter of Romans. Paul says, you are not the natural branches. You've been grafted in. And listen to another thing he says. Plus, you draw strength from the root. The root don't draw strength from the branch. Well, that's a slap in the face of the church if you ever seen it. Why? Because back then the church was lifting its nose against the Jewish people. They persecuted the Jewish people. That's why they don't want nothing to do with Jesus. That's why they don't want nothing to do with Christianity. It's because Christianity has erred. We have done wrong. So we need to repent that God forgive us. Hence, God had told us, go to the mainland, go to this one area and do a season of reconciliation. You know what? This season of reconciliation, we're going to do it throughout the world this year. You watch. I sense that God says, no. You know what? God reconciles us, and so we need to go and say, can I ask you guys to forgive us? On behalf of the church, I want to ask you to forgive us. We don't understand the stage play. We don't know the script. We haven't learned our lines, and these people know. That's why they're so blessed. They're blessed and not even serving like how we serve, saints. They don't have a nosebleed about giving tithes. They give tithes. They don't have a nosebleed about this. Their families all go down line. They're all blessed. A Jewish man dies today, his son will have the business tomorrow. And that man dies, his son will have the business the next day. That's how they know how to go. Why? Because apply the word. And they're not even using the New Testament. They're just using the Tanakh. If you understand this, oh Jesus, we'll be blessed. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Please get something out of this, saints. Draw from the Word. I know those of you listening in, watching this, if you have to go back later on, just, you know, go back and look at this over again, or go back and listen to this over again. Important points that should not be missed. Important points that should not be missed. Important points that should not be missed. If you miss it, well, it's going to be on you. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. See? Exegesis. Eisegesis. You can spiritualize with eisegesis, but no Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved or impelled. The Amplified says, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit. It's very, very important for us to understand this. Okay, square one. Understanding God's Word. What is this? All Scripture. What? But it's not about me. See, can you get that in your spirit? Can you settle that in your spirit so that we can go on? So that you don't get a nosebleed if you read something over here and you look at people. You got to understand the Word. The Word is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Jesus gave 3.5 years of His life. 3.5 years of His life. He gave 3.5 years of His life to teach people. And they caught most of the things after He left. After He left, then they said, oh, that's what He meant. In Luke 24, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Those two guys walking down the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? They said, ah, that's how it used to be when Jesus spoke to us. But He never identified Himself as Jesus. See? Very, very important for you to know. This is what God must do. Write this down. God must fulfill the Scriptures. Amen. Bible says the Scripture will never return to Him void. It shall accomplish what it set out to do. With that in mind, that God's Word will never return void, do you think God's going to win this world? I'll tell you this. Okay, well, hang on now. Listen to what I just said. Do you think God's going to win this world or He's going to reach this world? I believe He's going to reach this world. But I don't believe He's going to win this world. You know why? Because the world says, I don't want that way. I don't want that way. See, the bottom line is, everybody goes to Las Vegas, everybody goes to Atlantic City, Reno, and Lake Tahoe, everybody goes to, you know, wherever they have gambling. In their mind, they say, I'm going to win. High percentage of them leave there saying, oh, I thought I was going to win. Oh, boy, it's a long plane flight home now. Oh, God, I thought I was going to win. But you know when you serve the Lord, everybody wins. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. I don't believe that. Do you know the Bible is so important? You know how important the Bible is? Time magazine. Latest issue of Time magazine. Saying why we need to get the Bible back in our schools. Why? Beautiful article in the Time magazine. April 2nd edition. Time magazine. Yes. I had a schedule. Time magazine. I read this article. I'm like, these guys are saying we need this. Because you know why? Most Americans are just, they don't know the Bible. Then they said most evangelicals, they don't know what Jesus said on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. Some don't even know the first book of the Bible. And in a day where a lot of people are using the Bible, they draw illustrations, many movies are quoting the Bible. Many movies. And they're like, well, why are they quoting the Bible? Because there's some semblance in this Bible. Truth is in the Word of God. So it behooves us in the body of Christ to what? Study our Bible. If Time magazine is going to tell you to study the Bible, that's sad. I applaud them, but that's really sad. I mean, obviously the preacher's not telling people to study the Bible. Sure, because a lot of the new churches, they don't even encourage you to bring a Bible to church. They just say, don't bring the Bible, don't worry about it. I just got a phone call from a friend in Michigan. He says, man, when a lot of people come into our church now. I said, why? He says, the church they're in is a huge church, Apostle. He says, but the preachers tell them and the elders, don't bring your Bible to church. You don't need that. We'll put it on the overhead. We'll give you what you need to learn. But a lot of them came up the old way. They said, forget you guys. We're going to go to a church. Listen to this. That allows us to bring our Bible. So then you know what that means? A lot of churches don't allow people to take their Bibles anymore. My Catholic friends told me, I never read the Bible. I was never encouraged to read the Bible. They told us what the Bible said, they being the priest. They told us what the Bible says. Don't you let me tell you what the Bible says. I'm trying to teach you to get it for yourself. A lot of guys watching us right now, they think they know the word. They don't know the word. This is not, why am I going to speak tonight? I'll put a fan on high and blow all the pages and wherever it is, I turn the fan off. Where it stops, I preach from there. Negative. We got to know the word of God. Your life is dependent upon knowing the word of God. And yet we spend our time trying to know people and figure, oh, they're going to help me out. Nobody can help you out. Only the Lord can help you out. His word can be an anchor, but it can also be a life preserver. That's why it's important for you to get this word in your spirit. If they ever come to America and they say, all Bibles are illegal, we're going to take away, confiscate all Bibles, you don't have to worry. Why? The Bible, the word of God is not black ink on white paper. He's a person. Yeah. I'm teaching you about this person named Jesus Christ. Yeah. When you get to get intimate with him and get to know him, nobody can tell you nothing about him. See, people say, how do you know so much about him? You got to breathe him. Go to bed with him. Just take the word and say, I'll consume you. Man, I sit down at your coffee table and study the word of God. This will keep you when the newspaper fails. And believe me, they fail. When the magazines go out, heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. This will not pass away. I don't care what people try to tell you in their periodicals, magazines, newsletters, or what. The word of God takes precedent. That's how cults are started. When these guys say, well, right now God gave me revelation, so my revelation being newer, it's 2,000 years past Jesus Christ, so therefore what I tell you is greater than what Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. Shut up. Now you try to think, I don't think that would ever happen. People by the multitudes are leaving Christian churches and joining up with the cults. Can't blame nobody but themselves. See, when the word of God gets in you, can't touch you. The enemy can't touch you. Can't touch you. He can't touch you. Can't touch you. He tried touching Jesus, couldn't touch him. The only reason Jesus was crucified, because God allowed it to happen. Bible says, had Satan understood and the demons understood what they were doing, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. So what does he do to get God's people? He transforms himself as what? Angel of light. So he comes as a well-dressed minister. He comes as a well-dressed singer or teacher, lady, man, whatever. And they begin to give you their philosophy. We don't need philosophy. We need the word of God. Being philosophical will never give you a breakthrough. You using psychology and using psychiatry, it's not going to help you. What you need deliverance from is that. See, that's psyche. That's man. You need, the mind cannot help you. Your mind needs to be cleansed by the word of God. See, that's why we go back to the word of God. Heaven and earth, no scriptures of any private interpretation. So we go back to the word of God. We say, man, this thing is reliable. I stake my life on the word of God. Listen to this. When we look at this, then we begin to understand, goodness gracious, God says we can be blessed. No matter how wonderful, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something right now. No matter how wonderful the benefits or how wonderful the spirituality, what's done as we begin to spiritualize this is eisegesis, not exegesis. From whom to whom? We cannot hope to find literal fulfillment of prophecy in any other place than to whom or where it is directed. Spiritual fulfillment can be found, but literal fulfillment cannot be found. See, that's why when we look, and that's why I try to teach you about Israel. As Israel goes, so goes the world. And it looks like Israel, man, guys ain't got nothing. Listen to me. Israel is front page. We are so deep in the newspaper, so far off the front page, yet we're thinking it's about us. Look at Israel. Consider Israel. I use this illustration once again. Using your hand. Everything else around here is the Middle East. Your thumb nail, not your thumb, your thumb nail represents Israel. Everything is about Israel, not about this whole place. That's why the world, all the attention right now goes to Israel. That's why we have spent more on fuel flying people back and forth to Israel to say to them, give peace, write this, give them the land, give them the... They don't have much land. They don't have much land. Their back is against the proverbial wall. What are they going to do? God says, I will trouble everyone who comes to Jerusalem God says, Zechariah chapter 12, I will kill them. I'll destroy them. See, what America don't do, don't understand Condoleezza Rice and all these people we send back and forth as emissaries. Go over there, God says, I'm going to kill you. Your plane will crash. You're going to die. You're not doing what I'm telling you to do. This is none of your fight. See, the land is not the Jews' land. It's not the Arab land. It's God's land. God said to the Jews, because you chose not to listen to me, I will drive you to the four corners of this world. But in the last days, I'll bring you back. So when the Jewish people begin to go back home to Israel, it's called an aliyah. Aliyah. A-L-I-Y-A. Aliyah. They go back home. So now they can, you know, they're rabbis that come on Christian networks and they're like, hey, if you give towards this and we can fly them home on LL, which is a Jewish airline, on LL. What they don't tell you this is LL will fly any Jew wherever they are in this world home for free. They fly them home for free. They go to the absorption. And then they give them a place to live, a house to live in, and a job. Why? They're fulfilling scripture. So we need to understand this. When we begin to understand this, we're looking at, now, you go to the newspaper, wherever you find about Jerusalem, Israel, read that. Because the newspaper goes as far as that article goes. That's how important it is. They're center stage, even though they might not be on the front page. So you need to come back to understanding, God. If Israel is center stage, no wonder everybody's going to Jerusalem. No wonder Bush is saying this. No wonder his predecessors all said it. Carter said it. Carter had them stand, shake hands. Remember that? You know what? Why does Carter had them shake hands? Clinton had them shaking hands. Everybody had them shaking hands. But after they shook hands, they pulled guns. P-S-E-U-D-O. Pseudo. P-S-E-U-D-O. Pseudo peace. Pseudo is man-made. That's why we say, oh, peace, peace. The Bible says in Second Thessalonians. He says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. So in other words, if we want to know what's happening, guess who we're supposed to be focusing in on? Israel. But what have we been doing? Looking at the church. Oh, we're going to get ourselves ready. And then when we're ready, we'll tell Jesus to come back and get us. And we're going to go and we're waiting for the rapture. We're going to get out of here. We're going to be raptured with the Lord. Well, what about the Jewish people? Well, the great tribulation is coming for them. I have news for you. It's here now. Amen. It's here now. This avian bird flu gets away like they said it's going to get away in Hawaii. 10,000 of our people will die, according to the state. 10,000. 365,000 will get sick. Don't be naive. You think it's going to bypass you? If you're in a covenant with the Lord, it's going to bypass you. That doesn't mean you mock God and go and do what these other people are doing. That means you protect your family. You do everything that's right. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
See, you can't, well, I just plead the blood. Wonderful. I call angels down. Psalm 91. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortune, my God, my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. Yeah, but you know what? You stand around people who have this bug. You're going down. Bible says in Galatians, be not deceived. God's not mocked. He sent the canoe. He sent the boat. He sent a helicopter for you. Now you're dead. See, he's saying, I'm trying to get you to understand. He's telling us now, understand, time is winding down for you Gentiles. Pick up speed. Go around and tell them about Jesus. Hey, listen, I want to share something with you. In the book of Acts, chapter 3. In the book of Acts, chapter 3. Go there. Acts chapter 3. In the book of Acts, Peter and John had a great time. They went to the temple, the hour of prayer. You remember the story? There was a man there crying out, alms, 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 alms. He was lame from his birth. Lame. Lame. Couldn't walk. He could talk. He wasn't dumb. Alms, alms. Peter says, listen. Silver and gold have we none. He's looking at them. Looking at his cup. But the Bible says he's fastened his eyes on them like he was going to receive something. And what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what? Rise up and walk. The Bible says he grabbed him by the hand and he lifted him. Immediately strength came to his ankles, his knees. I mean, to everything. Bop, 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 bop. The Bible says he went walking, leaping, praising God into the temple. Powerful stuff. Now watch this. I want to share this with you. Watch this. After the healing of this lame man, Peter preaches in the temple in an area known as Solomon's Porch. Let's look at it over here. The Bible says over here, drop down. It's in verse number 12. I want you to see it, verse number 12. Man, they said, wow, this is powerful, okay? Here, verse 11. As a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them to the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, watch this, saints, he answered unto the people, he says, ye men of Israel, who was he addressing? Wasn't addressing the Gentiles, see? He is calling the Jews on it. And I said, yeah, you men of Israel, you men of Israel. You men of Israel. What did he tell them? Look at what he says. You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pontius Pilate, and he was determined to let him go, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all of you. And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets. Ooh, underline that. Underline that. Those things which God before, circle the word before, had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should what? Suffer. He hath so fulfilled. He had so fulfilled. But see, right here, now in verse number 19, Peter's going to give us some insight. Watch this. Peter's going to say something that's going to give us the key that will unlock the gate that's obstructing our view of why Israel is in existence. He brings order or clarity to the disorder of our mind and understanding. Watch this. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from where? The presence of the Lord. Watch. And he shall send Jesus Christ, watch, which before was preached unto you. Watch, look at verse 21. Don't miss this now. Whom the heaven must receive when? Until the time of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Oh, there's the word prophets again, huh? Since the world began. Let me read from the Amplified. Amplified says, verse 21, whom heaven must receive, talking about Jesus, and retain. Talking about Jesus. Heaven must receive and retain him until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. Now wait a minute. If Peter's going to give us this key, remember in Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, behold, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Now here's one of the keys of the kingdom for us to understand. Why does Israel exist? What role does Israel play in our life? Where do we come in this story? Right here, the word restoration, or the word restore, is a Greek word. I'm going to spell it for you, then I'll pronounce it. A-P-O, kata, K-A-T-A, stasis, S-T-A-S-I-S. Apokatastasis. Everybody say that together. Apokatastasis. All right. This is the only place in the New Testament this word is found. Not even used in the Septuagint. You know what the Septuagint is? The 2,000-year-old Greek version of the Old Testament. Not even used there, this word. This word is rarely used due to the fact, watch, that the need for its use is rare. Here's what this word, apokatastasis, means. Write this down. To reenact historical events. Write this down. To reenact historical events. Ain't that something? To reenact historical events. Let's go back now. Going back to the Amplified, I'm going to read Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. So repent, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you. Hang on now. He just accused him of having part in killing Jesus. But he's saying, now, if you repent, God's going to send him back. Did you grab that? You repent, God's going to send Jesus back. Let me say this again. When the Jewish people repent, Jesus will come back. When is Jesus coming back? Not when the church is ready. When the Jews see that they need Jesus. Okay, now let's look at something here. Are you getting something on this? Okay, all right. It says, that he may send to you the Christ, verse 20, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you. For you Jews. Jesus, whom heaven, listen to me, whom heaven must receive. Did heaven receive Jesus? Yeah. When he went home to be with the Lord 2,000 years ago with the Father, heaven received him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, and they watched the cloud take him back to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tells us the story of Jesus seeing he left. So heaven received him, right? But it doesn't stop there. And heaven also retains him. So heaven is holding him. So Jesus is what we can say in a holding pattern right now. And saints, it has nothing to do with the church. See, we think, well, we're his bride. And when the bride is ready, then, oh, hang on. You know, the bride can always have spot, blemish, and wrinkle. Let's tell the truth. Even a girl or woman who gets married on that day has spot, blemish, and wrinkle. I don't care how much makeup they put on her, she got spot, blemish, and wrinkle. God knows that. The church will always have spot, blemish, and wrinkle. The Bible says that he wants to present us faultless. Would be good if we're sinless, but we're faultless. Big difference, saints. Now watch this. Whom heaven must receive and retain, when? Until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. So, we have memory. We have the Bible. Let's go talk about some ancient time. How about this? It shouldn't be difficult for us, right? Okay, so how do we do it? I told you Amos 3 and 7. That's ancient time. Amos was a prophet. That's ancient time he spoke. Something else you can read about in Genesis chapter 20. Go there, Genesis 20. Let's read this. Genesis chapter 20. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is good stuff. Genesis chapter 20. We're going to look at verse number 7. Wait, verse number 6 and 7. God said unto him in a dream, he's talking about the king, Abimelech. Yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I allowed you not to touch her. Talking about Sarah. Verse 7. Now watch. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. Look at that. Talking about Abraham. See, the greatest Old Testament prophet is Abraham. So the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 3 that we our memory go back to the prophets. What did the prophets talk about? Melchizedek? Melchizedek is the type and shadow of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews that he has no beginning and no end. We sing about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega. The Aleph, the Tov, Hebrew. Alpha and Omega is Greek. So, he's the beginning and the end. So, Melchizedek, everybody said, well, I think Abraham actually met, that was Jesus that he met. When Abraham rescued Lot, what did he do? He brought a tithe of everything he got. See, when it comes to giving, it's all about being obedient. See, God's up to something through his word. And if you take him at his word, the up to something will come to you. If you obediently do what he tells you to do, even though it doesn't make sense, if you obediently do it, God will bless you. The Lord says, unless the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But after its death, it grows. When you look at your monies, when you look at your finances that you give in, this is a side note, when you look at your finances and your monies that you give into the offering, into the tithe, right? See it dying. So it can now be sprung, God can spring it up and it brings new things to you. See, the thing about finances is this. We're going to always catch revelation on finances, and that's wonderful. And thank God for everybody who's beginning to catch what the Bible wants us to do. This entire book is about giving. John 3:16 says what? God so loved the world that He... So when God gives, He's a leadoff giver. In baseball, you want the leadoff hitter. Then you want your fourth batter to be the best, really good, because this one, the leadoff hitter can get on base. The second one can probably get the first guy on base to advance to second base. The third one, if he strikes out, that's all right. We can still get two, and it's one out. But the cleanup batter, number four, comes up then. They say, this is the guy, this is the woman that's going to be a power hitter. Now, if they can get a home run, wonderful. But if they can get a triple, wonderful. Just don't. You don't call your cleanup batter to bunt. You got to be an idiotic coach to call like this. They're looking at you. Bunt? What's your problem, bunt? I'm the cleanup. You know, I'm Barry Bonds. Hello. You're not going to tell me, bunt. I'm going to hit away. I'm going to hit away. See, so when you give your offerings, when you give your tithes, basically you see it dead and you say, God, hit away. Hit away. Pow! And you see God bringing forth abundance. That woman gave her money in January and got her house in February. Not even banks can give you that. I mean, you know how much credit checks you have to go through and IOUs and put your hand against the wall, stick them up, everything? God's not like that. God just be obediently give to me. I'll bless you. God has things to bless you. Foreclosures is not always bad, saints. Foreclosures can be a blessing for you. If the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, those, you know how people get things foreclosed? They don't tithe, they don't give an offering. You cannot convince me that if you tithe and give any offering like you're supposed to, they're going to foreclose and they're going to repo. That's not God. God got a better plan. Come on, somebody. God wants you to stand up and say, hallelujah, saying, I tell you this right now. You know, we gave as God told us to give. We gave our first fruits, we gave our tithes, gave our offering, and then the Lord blessed us. The people like this. Saints, we're supposed to have lost our car. It came down. We're going to pay our car. We're going to give the first fruits, tithes, and offerings. It's a no-brainer, saints. First fruits, tithes, and offerings. Now, you go to money management people, and they say, bring your checkbook. We want to see what you do. And they're going to say, what is this? You have a church here, but what does that mean? Oh, I give my income. I give this. You raise that. I mean, we can bring you out right now. Yeah. We got a problem right now, friend. I can't erase that. It's a covenant between me and God. And I'm keeping my side because He'll keep His side. Yeah. See, you got to drive that into you because the natural mind can't comprehend that. Natural mind's like, I don't know, you want a good name. I think you better just, you know, you want your name to be good. You want a good credit rating. You know how many guys with a good credit rating not going to heaven? Yeah. Yeah. Guys get impeccable credit rating. Yeah. Impeccable credit rating. Everything is wonderful, but their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where your name should be. Yeah. Yeah, I don't get my name in Who's Who in America. Yeah. You keep that up, you get your name with me in Who's Who in Hell, too. So you need to understand the importance. Okay, so if Abraham is a prophet and God says so, let's go to Luke chapter 24. We'll show you something else. Luke chapter 24, verse number 19. Luke chapter 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke, just before John. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke was who? The only non-Jew who wrote the Bible. He wrote Luke and he wrote Acts of the Apostles. Luke chapter 24, verse number 19. Check out what it says right here. He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, now remember, this is them walking down the road to Emmaus. Jesus is interrogating these two guys. These guys say, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, watch, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. I want to read the Amplified. And he said to them, what kind of things? And they said to him, about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty, capital P, prophet mighty in working word before God and all the people. So in other words, what he's telling us here is Jesus is the last of the great prophets. So the first great prophet was Abraham. The last was the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say there's no more prophets. What I'm telling you is the great ones. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3 now. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3. So we can get something out of the Word of God. Just a few more minutes, we'll be through. I hope. Acts chapter 3. So it says what? Repent, change your mind, verse 19 in purpose. Turn around, return to God. That's what repentance is. Return to God that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing or recovering from the effects of heat or reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah. Do you want him sent to you?
Yes.
Well, listen to me. He's going to be sent to the Jews. So the question is, when will Jesus return? Well, we just read it here. Who before was designated and appointed unto you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time of the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. So the one who spoke about it was Abraham. And now the one that we spoke about it was Jesus. So now, these prophets spoke about it. We got to line things up. God said in Amos 3:7, unless I tell my servants the prophets, things ain't going to happen. So we know what we need to do. Start looking at prophecy. And understanding from whom to whom. From whom to whom. And when you get these saints of God, it's going to turn your life. Watch this. When we read that apokatastasis, it means to reenact historical events. Let me give you a listing of some of the major historical events in Israel. Number one, giving of the land of Canaan. That was historical. God gave them Canaan's land. That's historical. Do you agree? God says, that's going to be your inheritance. That's your promised land. Problem is, Canaan's living there, though. The Canaanites living there. Just evict them. It's your land. Number two, special relationships with the Lord. Man, these Jewish people, they were scooping. I ain't never seen any nation go around one city and just shout and the walls fall down. You talk about having food for 40 years. They got visitation from God, relationship with the Lord. Number three, look at how they exited from Egypt. The Exodus is amazing. Here we are, thousands of years later, still talking about this. How did it happen? The sea congealed. The Bible said the water congealed. The word congealed actually means to freeze over. We're in the Middle East, guys. Well, the average temperature down there is at least 110. How did God do this with the Red Sea? When he just held the water on one side, a strong east wind blew, and it lifted the water on the right side, and they walked across. The Bible says on dry land. How did it happen? Now they just found the place where it happened. They just found the place. They've gone there, and guess what they've seen? They found chariot wheels. I got this on video. These guys, for years, said, there's got to be, because they looked and searched the whole place. Where did they cross? And they found a place where all these people could be amassed and cross over. It's amazing. They looked on this, they said, goodness gracious, look at this. See, they didn't have to find it to prove the word is true. But they found it as a result of what the word said. Amen. Now watch what it says. And the Bible says, and the waters closed upon Pharaoh and his army in the midst of the sea. They said 5,000 abreast they stood to walk across. Powerful. Tell me these guys didn't get favor from God. Number four. These people were wandering in the desert. You don't read of anybody else except Bedouins who wandered in the desert. And God blessed them. They ate in the desert. They never went hungry. And every time they cried for water, God gave them water. This is amazing. What, number five? They entered the promised land. God said, that's the promised land. You're going to enter it. And they did. Joshua took them in. What happened, Joshua? Joshua went over there. He had the priest. Go, walk, 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 walk. They walked with the Ark of the Covenant. Soon as they walked into the water, Jordan backed up. The Bible says, God says, you're going to go in when the Jordan is overflowing. I'm going to show you guys a miracle. Overflowing its banks. Walk. The water backed up. I don't know how this happened, saints, other than God did it. Here's the next thing. They captured Jerusalem, 1967. They captured Jerusalem. They said, this is the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. Anybody else been irate? The next point, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th point. The establishment of the state of Israel, 1948. They established Israel again. After 2,000 years, God says, I'll bring you back. Here's the next point. They're establishing the kingdom of David. It was established. Now the tabernacle of David is coming back. What is that? 24-hour worship, 24-hour praise. And here's the last thing. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. So America is going over there and telling them what? Oh, no, you have to cut it. You have to share it with the Palestinians. You know, because Muhammad, he went up to heaven on his white horse from here. And history clearly shows Muhammad never went to Jerusalem. So they're perpetuating a lie. And you know why people believe a lie? Because they love not the truth. So, what have we found out? All these great events came and went during the course of ancient Israel's long history. Will they occur or be reenacted again? Has fulfillment occurred? Well, according to apokatastasis, to reenact historical events, it has to happen. Restoration, we read in Acts chapter 3, restoration is going to have to come. This is how it should be read. Jesus must stay in heaven until the times and seasons come to pass when Israel's historical events are reenacted. So you better watch Israel right now to find out what they're doing and what's happening. And you say, goodness gracious, this happened before. Reenactment meant it happened before. So go and see what they're doing now. In our last trip to Israel, we saw things that they did before. I said, well, this is all being reenacted. You ever watch a program, they say this is a reenactment. Well, God says, I'm going to bring a reenactment. And when the reenactment happens, what happens? Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back. See, and it's clear here in the Bible. What's going on in Israel plays significantly in all of our lives. Let's ask the Lord, saints, to open our spiritual eyes and our heart as we witness His faithfulness in keeping the promise to Israel. According to Scripture, Jesus Christ cannot come until certain predetermined events shall have been fulfilled. And the foreordained events were spoken of by the prophets. It's getting close. And it's not because of the church. It's because of the Jews. I've heard more reports about Jews now coming to Jesus Christ. And they're open to hear about this Messiah than at any other time in history. If you're not ready, you better get ready and be ready. Did you learn something out of this? Amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those, God, who have listened to this. Lord, I seal this with the Holy Spirit of promise. I rebuke by the power vested in me. I rebuke the authority of the wicked one that wants to strip my people from what has been taught. We give you glory and honor even right now. Touch every mind, every ear, all spirits who heard this that belongs to you. Let them be able to go back over this and teach others. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.